Welcome to a special episode of RimsCast, sponsored by AXA XL. I am Justin Smullison, Business Content Manager here at RIMS, the Risk and Insurance Management Society, and your proud RimsCast host. Given regulations and more attention to climate change and other ESG issues, businesses are more concerned than ever about their impact on the environment. For the past few decades, many have turned to the environmental insurance market to address potential environmental liabilities. Today, we'll look at the current state of the environmental insurance market with Marianne Sasavage, the Chief Underwriting Officer of the Environmental Business Unit for AXA XL in the Americas. Marianne also serves as AXA XL's Global Chief Underwriting Officer for Environmental Business. Environmental insurance has been Marianne's career focus for nearly 30 years. Prior to entering the insurance industry, she spent 6 years in engineering consulting and worked on a variety of environmental projects. This included everything from developing spill response plans for the oil industry to helping industry clients with their storm water practices. Between her influential career experience and AXA XL's status as a pioneer in environmental insurance, going back nearly 40 years, Marianne is uniquely qualified to provide a glimpse of the market and where she and AXA XL believe it's headed. Let's hear from her directly. Marianne Sasavage, welcome to RimsCast. All right, Marianne, the environmental insurance market is about 40 years old, and you've been a professional practicing in it for about 30 of those years. You've seen a lot of growth and many changes, I'm sure. How does the market today compare to when you first started as an environmental underwriter?
Well, as you can imagine, in those early days, the market was really just trying to figure out how we were going to fill the gap that was left by the pollution exclusions that were in the general liability policies or other types of policies. And those policies, frankly, they weren't intended to pick up things like asbestos liabilities or Superfund type liabilities. So, you know, 3 decades is a long time. A lot of things happen. And in that space, we were really trying to figure out how do we provide coverage that makes it risk transfer versus a risk funding mechanism so that we could be in the market for a long period of time. But as the market matured, that coverage continued to expand. And the carriers that were willing to write it, we started out with about 3 of us. And today we have over 50 carriers. So when we think about what today holds, we're still tasked with addressing emerging issues that are created by environmental regulations or other things in the space where other coverage lines aren't covering pollution liabilities. And so that's what keeps us relevant today.
I would think that businesses that work with chemicals and store fuel on site might be key customers.
And I think that's a totally valid assumption. They're definitely the kinds of insureds that would seek pollution coverage.
Sure. So what sorts of industries tend to buy environmental insurance?
Well, really all industries buy it, just not at that same rate, right? So when you think of environmental coverage, it's not mandatory, except for a few very specific areas like landfills or even underground storage tanks in certain states. But beyond that, from a mandatory perspective, it's really purchased as a result of contractual requirements or, frankly, just as good risk management practice. So when we think of the high hazard risks, things like the chemicals or the petroleum, definitely they understand the risk mitigation and the insurance that they can purchase helps them alleviate that. And they generally have a higher purchase rate.
How about a sector like real estate and managers and portfolio holders?
They too often see the benefit, especially when they're buying or selling properties, because they have to mitigate unknown conditions that might be found during that transaction. So they as well are key buyers often. But when we look at all of the industries in the realm that could potentially purchase environmental coverage, really probably the take-up rate's only about 30 to 50%. So we certainly have more bandwidth to go in terms of getting more buyers. And frankly, the worst situation is at the time of a loss, a pollution loss, when they're told the policies that they have in place that are not pollution policies don't cover the loss. And then it's kind of a, and by the way, you could have purchased an environmental policy that may have covered that. So that's a position we really don't want our insureds to be in.
Marianne, are there environmental exposures that risk managers often underestimate or undervalue?
Unfortunately, there are. You know, and often what we see is they're considered within maybe building maintenance issues or other risk management areas. So a great example would be the heightened incidences that we've seen of Legionella in the last handful of years. And what Legionella is, it's a waterborne bacteria. It was first identified, oddly enough, in my hometown of Philadelphia in 1976 during the bicentennial. And funny enough, my family's neighbor was a plumber in that building when that was discovered. And since that initial outbreak, which was over 40 years ago, we've certainly identified that there's maintenance items that can be done to curtail or mitigate outbreaks. And yet we've still seen a resurgence of Legionella in places like apartments or hotels or nursing homes or even recreational areas. And unfortunately, we're not just talking about contamination of things like water coolers or jacuzzis or swimming pools, but it can also lead to death as a result of an airborne inhalation of bacteria, unfortunately.
What's another example of an underestimated exposure?
I would say waste generation. You know, most of our insureds generate some form of waste where they feel that they've done an adequate and regulatory sufficient job of disposing of their materials and how they manage them and how they handle them. But unfortunately, when it leaves their hands and it goes to, you know, its final disposition, like a landfill, they can still be held responsible if that landfill unfortunately ends up contaminating a neighboring property of the landfills. So we have this concept in the United States that's called cradle to grave in our regulations, which also is from 1976 and created by the Environmental Protection Agency in response to the nation's, you know, growing waste flows and some questionable handling practices. So unfortunately, even a good steward who's handling and managing their materials well, when they hand it off, they still will have responsibility potentially.
Marianne, you also oversee AXA XL's global environmental business. What differences do you see for the U.S. environmental insurance market compared to other areas of the world?
Well, I would say the primary difference between the U.S. market and other market geographies is really the litigious nature of the U.S., unfortunately. And the regulations in the U.S., they come with significant oversight and obviously significant consequences if they're not followed. And that oversight is led largely by the federal government, but it can also be held by the local state government. And the state government has to at least be as strict as the federal government, if not stricter.
All right. Could you give us an example?
Yeah, a great example would be a release from an industrial plant.
Now, those are accidental usually, right?
Definitely. Yes, we would be talking about something that's accidental or unintended. So if that discharges above a regulated level, then we have a couple things that can happen. One could be a fine that's imposed by the regulatory authority because, you know, as I just said, the federal or state government have oversight over those types of things. And then beyond that, you could have a natural resource that might be impacted, like groundwater, you know, it could be a stream or wetlands or, you know, even a lake. And you can have an impact to recreational use or, you know, there could be a fish kill. So, you know, when we think about the regulations, it's more than just the element itself. It's how is it protective of human health and the environment, which can lead as well to third parties taking issue with a release. And so what I mean by that would be entities like a non-governmental organization, an NGO, who could raise up a lawsuit as a result of, say, a Clean Water Act violation or impacting the environment. And that's where environmental insurance can come into play because it can respond to those fines and penalties. It can respond to natural resource damages, defend claims from third parties. And naturally, we want a cleanup to be done, so some remediation of the spill itself. Of course, all of that comes with a disclaimer that the pollution condition has to be covered under the policy. And certainly, as we already talked to, that the release was not intentional.
With many businesses paying more attention to potential ESG risks, are you seeing increased interest in environmental insurance? And what sorts of trends are driving buyers?
Well, this last year in particular, we've seen a significant uptick in the recognition of ESG risks. And naturally, we're uniquely positioned as we provide environmental coverage. So that E part of the equation is, you know, of particular interest to us. So that has increased the desire for both education and solutions that are either, you know, in the insurance policy or beyond what we would think of as the standard insurance policy. So when we think about policy language, we instituted something called Green Building Materials Enhancement to our coverage quite a number of years ago. And, you know, if you think about what that is, it is at the time of a loss, if we have to remediate something because of a pollution condition and it damages real property, the restoration of that property can include replacement with building products that are, or materials that are recognized as being environmentally preferable, sustainable, or providing enhanced energy efficiency. And so each of those descriptions are constitute, you know, green building materials. And a great example of that would be products that include reclaimed materials that are either salvaged or refurbished or reused. And you can think of concrete as an example. We could use reused aggregate or fly ash to satisfy that. But, you know, often you have to look beyond the policy as well, and, you know, for the interests of the insureds from an education perspective. And we continue to create and distribute thought leadership articles in this area and partner with technologies, you know, that we can work with an insured to mitigate things. So water loss is a great example of that. You know, water is both a precious resource and a source of both environmental and property damage claims. So the technologies that we partner with can mitigate both of those negative outcomes.
You mentioned increased competition in the environmental insurance market. How do you and your team distinguish yourselves from your peers?
Well, you know, we're fortunate to be one of the original markets writing environmental insurance. And we're still in the game because we've used analytics and our experience really to guide us as our market has matured over these 30 plus years. So we consider ourselves to be a top five market in our space. And we distinguish ourselves with a dedicated team that includes really three elements: underwriters, our risk engineers, and our claim handlers. And that whole package is very important to the marketplace. So we've been a steady partner. We certainly look to focus on our customers' needs. And we continue, as a part of that, to have the ability to provide significant capacity. So when I say that, you know, I'm talking about we can write policy limits out to 50 million. And when we talked about buyers and sellers of property, it's really important for them to cap those liabilities. And so we can still offer 10-year policy terms for things like mergers and acquisition deals. And our technology partnerships, they're a significant differentiator for us in this market as well.
Let's talk about that for a moment. What technologies are you introducing to clients?
You know, how we start out with a client is really around a discussion about their perspective issues. So what is it that they're looking to solve in their industry? An example would be, say we're talking to a real estate entity that has a variety of property holdings and buildings, possibly even under development. We might discuss how they need to mitigate water losses, or if they're on the West Coast, earthquake exposure, worker safety, you know, as part of the development. And they have contracts with lots of different entities, including vendors. So fortunately, we have preferred technology partners that can address each of these types of issues, and we can bring them to the table for our clients.
Marianne, what's next for the environmental insurance market? Where do you see it heading?
Well, you know, just like we have over the last 30 years, we have to continue to look at addressing emerging environmental issues because they keep coming, frankly. And you could think of things like that you see in the news these days. You know, PFAS is a great example. And, you know, think firefighting foam or waterproof products. And then things that aren't discrete contaminants like microplastics. We see that in the news every day. So, frankly, this market has to continue to evolve to meet not only those needs, but also the ESG needs that we've talked about, and those especially in the renewable space, and frankly, being consistent around policy coverage terms to mitigate those impacts, right? And recall, this is all wrapped around health and the environment, which are impacted at either where our insured works. This requires us to be more than insurance providers. We are partners in risk management.
Special thanks again to Marianne Sasavage for joining us here on RIMSCast. For more information about AXA XL's ESG expertise and its commitment to helping businesses manage their environmental liability, visit axaxl.com.